And it's Friday. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor and contributing writer to the Huffington Post, joins us with his latest on the world of sports. Ibrahim, good morning.
Good morning.
So have you seen the ads for that Brad Pitt movie Moneyball, based on that fabulous book Michael Lewis wrote about the economics of baseball?
I have.
Yep. And it reminds me of the pitch that you gave us for this morning. There's a different kind of Moneyball that takes place in the NBA, which is facing a serious possibility of a lockout, which could end this season. What are the economics of basketball that fans should bear in mind when they think about the collective bargaining agreement problems of the NBA?
Well, I was reading a recent Malcolm Gladwell post in an online thing called Grantland, and he's basically saying that sports teams, when owners buy sports teams, they're buying it for an aesthetic value, but also for a financial value. So they often will pay more than what the team is worth, just so they can have the time to look at this beautiful thing, this wonderful object.
It's a little bit of a vanity project in the sense that it grants a lot of status. So when an owner says, "Hey, I'm losing money," we should take that with a grain of salt. Is that the idea?
Yes, and it's some teams that lose money, but also they fill the stands, so they're making tons of money, and they're getting some. They're still getting something beautiful to look at the same time.
So would that be the case with the Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks? He's certainly has the reputation of being an astute business person. But again, this is a vanity project for him.
Mark Cuban has the opportunity to act like a 14-year-old, and this is what Gladwell points out, when he was the owner of the Mavericks. In any other business, he cannot act like that, and that's the beauty of it.
And that's probably worth how much, according to Gladwell, a percent of the purchase price of the team?
28% of the buy is an aesthetic, similar to buying a fancy piece of artwork.
So that's like that could be like $80 million in Mark Cuban's case.
Well, they valued, for example, the Detroit Pistons at $360 million, and he just sold for $420 million. So you see that people will actually pay a lot more than what the team is actually worth.
So the Detroit Pistons, maybe $100 million of that sale price is just for the privilege of ownership, to be the ability to sit in the box seats and to act, as you say, like a 14-year-old, although not everyone acts like Mark Cuban.
Imagine if Celeste could buy the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, she would pay a lot. She would probably pay double for the Detroit Lions. Absolutely. That's something to contemplate there. So before we go on this, this whole notion that Gladwell has presented here could complicate the entire collective bargaining agreement negotiations, right?
Well, what he's also saying is that the owners should not assume as if they're just thinking from a business perspective, that they have to factor in the fact that this is an emotional relationship that they have to the game, and they might have to take a loss and offer so that the players can get back on the court,
right,
and they can actually get the game going. It's not going to be the same business like a wine business or a store on the corner.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, speaking of emotion, listen to this.
A grander slam. The grandy man can. Oh, the grandy man can.
John Sterling of WCBS 880 in New York, voice of the Yankees. Three grand slams in one game. What was the score?
22-9. The Yankees have scored 198 more runs than their opponents, and that works out to 6 to 7 runs per game. They're the most productive team in the league right now.
Unbelievable. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, have a good weekend.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.